We are here because we are dedicated to helping the entire CrossFit community. Determined to elevate coaches, box owners, athletes, and everything in between, we believe that this mission will begin right here, right now. While this time and this goal begins with you, our hope is that you take this fire ignited within you and weave it into your own life with the same unrelenting passion to give those you have the privilege of coming in contact with the best hour of their day.
All right. Welcome, David.
Thanks.
So, give a quick introduction. David Newman, founder of RX Smart Gear. I don't know where or how or when we met, but I was texting David last week.
I've been a fan of yours for like 10 years, Jason.
Stop it. Go on.
Back from the long hair days, back when the hair was flowing down here.
Now it's the bedhead child days. Look like you, Tony, UP over there, if I put anything in it. But highly impressed, not so much with your, less impressed with your ability to coach people at double unders. Like, that's cool. But more impressed to me is your entrepreneurial stuff. You are Rogue exemplifies what it means to be a great business. And you are right there with them in my books. I mean, doing the right things, the right ways, like the little things that just go a long way. Notes, I mean, you sent us a baby gift. I mean, that's just above and beyond, obviously. But just
told you I'm a fanboy.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thing's cool.
Is that amazing?
Yeah. More cool than the baby gift, though, is that the olive green handles. Come on. That was, nice. You know, I got
sold out everywhere.
What's that, Tony?
Sold out.
So, well, hey, you know, pays to know people. I actually, you know, we got the black ones for Roz, and I thought, okay, she wouldn't want these greens. And then the green came, and she's like, oh man, you got the green ones? I'm like, hey, you get the black ones. But then, you know, that we'll talk about it. I'm sure I was talking to, there's a couple Tonys on this call, but Tony Pino, also known as Jersey Tony. I was telling about that heavy metal rope. I really like it. It's enough feedback, but it's super fast. And you're also deathly afraid of whipping yourself with it. You don't want to mess up, which I haven't done just yet. But oftentimes, I'm sure you guys on the call know, you get a new rope and you're like, it's going to take some time. It was like, boom, right away, just clicked with that rope. So really cool. And the new case is awesome. The new case is awesome.
Awesome. Well, glad you like it. Appreciate it.
So here's what we usually do. I mean, if you want to kick off and say anything, we'd love to hear from you. But I told these guys to be prepared. None of them listened based on where they're sitting. I told them to have some space to practice their double unders. Federico, you good? All right. Well, we'll let you check out Federico. He's in Italy.
Oh, awesome.
And you could talk super science-y with him. He'll get it. He's a quantum physics guy.
Oh, wow.
So he believes in parallel universes and all that. but you know, anything you wanted to say to kick off before we let these guys ask some questions?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for your intro, which was above and beyond. I look up to Rogue. I'm a huge fan of Rogue, and you know, we got our first kind of coming to the party welcome from Rogue back in 2010 is we actually sold our ropes out of their booth, which was like this big back in 2010, the first year in Carson. And it was a fun beginning because Rogue actually has been selling our jump ropes longer than before they even made their own. They were importing, I don't know if anybody knew that, but they were importing a few cheapy overseas ropes at the time. And then they heard about ours, invited us to hang out in their booth with them at the 2010 games, first year in Carson. And the rest is history. They've been selling our ropes for, you know, 10, 11 years now. So
Jersey Tony was texting me. We can bring it up later on in the call, but he has some questions on comparing RX Smart Gear ropes and Rogue ropes.
Oh, I mean, that's, yeah, I'd love to do that. Super easy. I mean,
you're better.
The short answer, there's no comparison, but I will tell the differences.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Because so Jersey Tony, I don't want to, I mean, you've probably heard of him, David. Like, we don't need to go crazy. He's a, you know, high level regional athlete.
He's such an asshole. It really is funny how much of an asshole this guy is.
But, he's a good athlete. He's good.
I'm no stretch a good athlete whatsoever, but
he's got three kids. He works for iHeartRadio.
Oh, very cool.
But you know, three kids, you got, you, not that Tony, you know, we don't need to discuss Tony's finances, but ropes can be expensive. So he was just saying, he was texting me saying, hey, what's the difference?
Yeah, oh, for sure, for sure. You know what? Honestly, you know, Rogues, I got a trash truck. I don't know if that you guys can hear all that. There's a dumpster truck picking up our trash, so it's super loud in here. No, Rogue makes great ropes. I like their products. I'll tell you the biggest thing. Hold on one sec.
Tony, you multitasking?
Yeah, I'm working, dude. Like, I don't know what, I can't.
I asked your question for you, all good.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of great products out there. I mean, obviously we pay attention to what's on the market, and we'll bring everything that we think is viable. We'll bring it in and we'll test it. Like we'll jump with it. We'll use them through workouts, just so we can speak intelligently about what they feel like to us. Right. Because what a lot of people don't realize is certain jump ropes can lead you to jump a certain way. Right. When you're jumping with a rope, you'll feel how that rope is reacting, how it's responding, and you'll adapt to it. And so I love Rogue's ropes. They make a lot of great ropes, and they're very affordably priced. You know what a lot of rope manufacturers do, and I'll kind of show you an example, is they'll have a handle and they'll bring the cable straight into the handle, and that's the fixed point. We call that a 90 degree attachment, right? So the rope works better when it stays on this 90 degree axis right here, rotating around the handle, okay? And the thing about that is when we jump with it and we bring in professional jumpers, meaning people that have been jumping competitively since they were children, and they, you know, for them, it's like jump rope is like picking their nose. They just do amazing things with the jump rope. So
Buddy Lee, bring in Buddy Lee ever?
What's that?
Buddy Lee?
No. These kids are like, I mean, Buddy Lee is a great showman. Love his stuff. But these kids are, they're like Rain Man, you know, like, they do stuff that, you know, Buddy Lee wishes he could do, you know, that's no slight on Buddy. Buddy's phenomenal.
Some of these people probably don't know who Buddy Lee even is. But back in the original CrossFit days, there was the Buddy Lee rope.
Yeah.
There's actually Buddy Lee seminars. He was a former Olympic wrestler, too.
Yeah. Two-time Olympic wrestler, very accomplished and amazing with a rope. I mean, I love watching him with a rope. But no, these kids that like have competed in jump rope, which is actually a competitive sport that maybe people aren't aware of. They will bring them in and we'll get their input and have them jump with it. Cause they're like the extreme, you know, that would be like, you know, Hinshaw in his prime, you know, being a triathlete, you know, coming in and testing out a workout in his prime. So anyway, the thing about the handle is what I figured out, you know, 12 years ago for myself, and these were just my own observations. And then as I started like really flushing through them, realized that there's a lot of transferability here, but I'm not a huge fan of jump ropes that work best on this plane, right? They work best on this, you know, horizontal handle, cable comes straight into the attachment point or the swivel point, and then it just wants to rotate here. Because what that leads people to do is it leads them to jump. Let me see if I back up a little. It leads them to jump very rigid, holding their handle at this horizontal motion because it works better, right? As you're jumping with it, the rope moves freer and smoother when you hold the handle here. And the problem is to do that, I started building up tension and fatigue in my forearms and wrist, and that leads up to the shoulder. So as you lock down your joint at the most distal point of your body, you have to move up to the next joint to create locomotion, if that makes sense, right? So if I'm not using my wrist and I lock my wrist up, I gotta use my elbow. If I'm not using my elbow, now I gotta use my shoulder to turn. So that's what we see a lot of people that lock up all their joints, and then they completely fry out their shoulders, and they're also trying to hold this motion. Whereas what made sense to me was to be very relaxed, very relaxed. I'm trying to see myself so that you guys can see me, but be very relaxed in this motion. So, you know, we started saying years ago, you should feel like you're shaking water off your hands. When you're doing a double under, your wrist should be just really relaxed. And it's just a light little pump of the elbows. And you're very disengaged from wrist to shoulder. You're disengaged, but you're connected through your fingertips to feel the tension of the rope. So yeah, that was my big thing, was I didn't like that tight motion of jumping. And so that's why we wanted to add this articulation, which allows you to, you know, throw the rope and it'll move wherever you need it to move on whichever axis, right? That's the other thing. Some people have really flexible wrists, and some people are really stiff. You know what I mean? It's across the board. So something that moves with you better just seemed to make more sense. But so that's the biggest difference between, I think, our ropes and most of the other ropes out there. But honestly, the big thing that I've been trying to preach to the community for over a decade now is everybody thinks you're supposed to start with a heavy rope. And then as you figure out the skill and you're pretty consistent with double unders, and don't confuse consistency with proficiency or efficiency, because there's all three of those along the line, right? People can consistently do inefficient double unders all the time. I'm coaching a good handful of games bound athletes right now that are phenomenal athletes and horribly inefficient, and they're trying to clean up their game. But the big thing is everybody seems to be like, oh, let's start with a heavier rope so we can feel the resistance of the rope and track it better and get our timing dialed in. And then they think I need to graduate to a speed rope, and the speed rope is the end of the road, right? Like, oh, you know, like I can jump with a speed rope now and I can go super fast. I'm at the pinnacle of where I need to be with a jump rope. And I just think that's really short-sighted thinking, because, you know, a speed rope is just, it's just a modality, right? It's a light jump rope that you can go slow, you can go fast. It just doesn't have a lot of resistance, so you're not going to feel a whole lot of fatigue. But to me, I always equate jumping with a speed rope with doing Fran with a PVC pipe. Every time you do Fran, hey, get a PVC pipe, right? You're doing the full range of motion. You're meeting all the standards of the movement. You just have no resistance. And to me, that's what a speed rope is, right? It's just like, it's just, there's not a lot of resistance there. So it's great to use it and train speed, to train long sets, you know, hit some long duration double unders, go for, you know, large unbroken sets. That's great to train that. And it's great to use in competition, obviously. You know, I mean, you got money on the line, that makes sense. A trophy on the line, whatever. But when you're training, I think you should be training with something heavier every day. And heavier being like, this is kind of our stand. And this is not a sales pitch, so I don't want you guys to think I'm trying to sell you product, but we practice what we preach. So just to give you an example, and you can find other products out there that might match up, that might be more affordable, which is great. But our standard rope, and this is what we put in our gym packages, that when a gym orders like a wall rack that has 20 ropes on it, we send them this, and it has our, we call it our buff cable, but it's a little over 3 ounces. It's a 3 ounce cable.
Is that the Poseidon?
No, this is just, we call it buff. Yeah, Poseidon is the next one up. Poseidon's a little over 4 ounces, like 4.1 ounces. And we base all of our weight on a 9 foot section of cable. And honestly, most people jump, the average jumper probably uses like a, you know, 8.8, 8.10. Average female jumper is going to be an, you know, 8.2 to 8.4. So we use just a 9 foot, because back in the day, everybody, all the manufacturers sold their jump ropes at a 9 foot length. And so we just kind of started with that as our model. But a typical speed wire, an uncoated speed wire, weighs 1 ounce. A 9 foot section will weigh 1 ounce. So this is three times the weight of a speed wire, but it's 3 ounces, right? And it cracks me up, man. I would have so many people, like when we go to the games or regionals and we're helping people at our booth, and we always get them on a mat. We want to see them jump and see, you know, what they're doing. And it would just crack me up that people would be so used to their speed rope that they would say, oh man, that rope feels really heavy. Can you give me something lighter? And I'm like, you CrossFit? Like, really? You're going to tell me a 3 ounce cable feels heavy? That tells me there's something wrong with your training if you think a 3 ounce cable is heavy, right?
Well, something you and I were on our call a week or two ago, and something you said to me was interesting about, you know, when I was like, I want it lighter to go, you were like questioning me, like, really? Like, why is that better? Right? And I think we're so caught up in the world of time and speed where every day in your garage, does that matter? Or are you better off using a heavy rope, improving, and like no different than throwing on your Oli shoes on competition day, but training in your flat shoes in the garage?
There you go. Great. That's a great analogy. And hey, let me preface with this. The one thing I believe is that everybody has their own fitness journey that, you know, that makes them happy, right? Like if they're getting out of bed, getting off the couch, they're getting out and exercising, going to their gym, in their garage, whatever. And as long as they're exercising, man, I'm stoked. You know, if they're out there jumping rope, doing whatever they can do, I'm stoked. So I have a ton of people. That's the first thing I'll ask them, like, what is your goal? You know, like if they come to me with their speed rope, and, you know, I'll have people that'll, you know, we have a store, we have a gym here at our headquarters, and we have a retail store. So people will come through all day and they'll want to buy a jump rope. And the first question is like, well, you know, what's your goal and where are you at now and what's your goal? And we'll have some people that come in like, oh, I'm amazing at double unders. I've been doing them forever. It's like my best movement. I mean, I hear that all the time. And that's awesome. I'm glad they're happy with what they're doing. Then we'll bring them out and we'll let them jump so we can figure out what size they need or what weight of cord they want. And you know, and they're not that great, right? Their technique is pretty off, you know, wide arms, rope is always way longer than it needs to be. The impact point is like really sloppy, whatever, but if they can knock out 50 in a row, they're stoked. So I'm like, well, hey, look, there's some things we can clean up if you want to clean them up, or if you're happy with what you're doing now, rock on. Just keep, you know, we'll match up what you're doing now. Like we'll get you the rope that fits your technique. And so there are people like that all the time. They're like, yeah, I don't want to go backwards, right? Because they'll struggle. They're used to being the hot shot at their gym, you know, knocking out 50 double unders in a row per round. And then all of a sudden they're struggling because they're trying to tighten up technique. Some people don't want to do that, right? Because they're not trying to go to the games. They just want to, they want to beat their buddy in the gym and then, you know, go have a latte. And that's totally cool. I'm all for that. But more people than not are stoked to like learn efficiency and learn, you know, like, wow, I can get better at this skill, something that I thought I was good at and I can get better. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Alexis Johnson. Alexis Johnson's a games athlete, I think she was on like Misfits team, really sweet gal. And, you know, she just put a post up this week because we've been friends for a few years now, but she's had some injuries that have kind of kept her, you know, more in rehab and less in training. And so she's finally back on a rope jumping and, you know, we got her shortened up and she made a really cool post just saying, man, I've been CrossFitting for 8 years and I just shortened my rope by 6 inches and learned like proper technique and efficiency. And she's like, it's like somebody flipped the light switch. This is amazing, you know? So you can make something you're really good at even easier, you know? So that's neat to see, you know? And then actually Sam Dancer jumped in and made a comment. He's like, yeah, when I hooked up with Dave, he shortened my rope by like 12 inches, which might've been an exaggeration. I mean, Sam was already a pretty good jumper, but we definitely dropped him down 8 or 10 inches on his rope length. So wait, who's calling me a good salesperson? I'm not trying to sell anything, you guys. I'm trying to sell knowledge. I'm selling you knowledge. So
you don't need to sell. We're good.
Well, I'm giving it to you. There you go.
It's passionate. No, that's what makes, and I'm in sales, and that's what makes to me a very good salesperson is just extremely passionate about the subject at hand and extremely knowledgeable.
So Tony,
I appreciate it.
Are you convinced now? That's really the sign of, did he do a good job?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, I'm about to buy the rope right now while we're talking, but I have so many other questions, but I will let everyone else.
Hey kids, no ice cream this weekend. Papa's got double unders.
Oh yeah, no, fuck my kids. They're not getting any ice cream.
Hey, Dave, before we open up some questions specifically geared towards, you know, the act of jumping rope, et cetera, I'm curious.
Yep.
As an entrepreneur, give us maybe your top 2, 3, 10 lessons that you've learned over the years, whether it's, you know, wake up early or, you know, any of these things. If David Newman was to write a book about his entrepreneurial success, what would you put in there?
Oh man.
Somehow I Managed by Michael Scott.
Great question. You know what? I think Tony hit it. I mean, you know, being passionate about what you're doing, that's probably the biggest thing. And that's so cliche. I can't tell you how cliche I think that's being, you know, said over and over and over, be passionate about what you're doing. But man, if you sit back and you go, yeah, what do I like to do? And if you can make money doing it at the same time, it's like, fuck, everything, the world's great, right? And so jump rope for me was literally, I was that guy in the gym when I started CrossFit over 13 years ago. I just had my 13 year anniversary in middle of May. I sucked at double unders. And it was just a passion project to figure out my own shit. And I didn't care about anybody else. Honestly, I wanted to fix my shit so that I could beat everybody else, because that was the one thing that I really, really was struggling at. And so, yeah, it wasn't a job, and it still isn't a job. You know, when I figured it out and figured out my own problems and how that really applies to a lot of people, that was the cool thing, is that I never wanted to be in the jump rope game, but I made a rope that worked for me, and I figured out things that helped me jump better. And because it was a two-part equation, right? Just the rope was an issue because what I was using wasn't fitting my body or technique. And what I was doing with the rope was also very flawed. So once I started dialing in, answering all those questions, so many other people had the exact same problem, right? I was not unique at all. And so that was really cool. So that's been awesome. You know, never thought I'd ever sell a jump rope in my life. You know, I was in real estate. I was a real estate broker prior to getting into this, you know, and I'm used to, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 commissions, depending on, you know, we're in Southern California, homes are expensive. So you sell a home, you make a huge commission that might take you, you know, 60 or 90 days. And then converting over to selling jump ropes, it would freak me out. Like, holy shit, I'm going to make my living $35 at a time, you know, like $35, just sell a jump rope for $35. That was a weird mental shift. But anyway, so be passionate, you'll never work a day in your life for sure. The other thing is trust other people, you know, building a good team. That was huge. At the beginning, I did everything like literally myself, you know, like sitting on my sofa in my garage, you know, building ropes, sitting in my living room sofa, watching American Idol and, you know, typing out shipping labels on my laptop and answering, you know, calls on my BlackBerry, because it was BlackBerry back then. And so building a team was huge, and being able to give up control of certain aspects of the business. There are things that happen in my business now that, maybe I should be embarrassed to say this, but there are functions and processes that happen now that I have no clue how they work, because I have better people that are handling those things and I trust them. My wife is my partner, so she's more on top of those nuts and bolts. So at the beginning, though, that was a weird shift for me to, you know, give up that control, because I did everything, you know. And I was thinking about that the other day. I never look in my bank account anymore. And that's a weird thing, because before, every like multiple times a day, I would check our bank account. Right? Business account, personal account, whatever, like multiple times a day, check it. And then luckily my wife is my partner. So when I handed that over to her, that was just a big, big weight off my shoulders to never have to worry about that. And then I could focus on what I'm good at, right? The things that I'm more passionate about and good at. So okay. My son just took off. So just in case we need demo, I'll bring Dax in, give Dax an
insight. I want to hear about his mugs also. Anasan's a big fan. He's on here somewhere, and he sent me the link to his. I need a new mug. Everybody makes my mug, so I'll need that. Christian, I see you. So I wrote down the two things you just said. I just posted in the group. Sim, throw that in the Slack group later for everybody, please. But I want to ask you one more question before I throw it to Christian.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm laughing at Tony. They're, you know, the comment section, right?
Yeah.
So something I often preach, and these guys have heard me say it enough times, is, you know, you have to quit your day job. I tell Tony, he's got a, he sounds like a decent job at iHeartRadio. I don't know. He got best hour of their day on there. He's obviously got some pull. But nice. What was that experience like for you? And what was that decision like for you? Obviously, you know, you have a kid, you're married, where it's like, hey, honey, by the way, I know you're used to this lifestyle. Let's go into the jump rope business.
Right.
What was that like? What does that feel like? What was it like, you know, for these guys that are coaches, considering box ownership or considering the full-time dive into coaching?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I think everybody's situation and circumstances are going to be different, right? There's going to be so many variables there. For my example, yeah, I had two boys, a mortgage, two car payments, and the small backdrop to my story was that I was a real estate broker for 15 years and took a huge hit in the crash of 08, like a lot of people did, and I thought I was smarter than the average person out there and had myself insulated and, you know, had my security and you know, safety blanket and all that. Thought I had myself covered. You know, we didn't live a lavish lifestyle. We're very conservative and I still took a huge hit and financially pretty much hit rock bottom, if you can imagine that. So, you know, my wife went back to work. She worked at San Diego State, which, you know, had great benefits, you know, medical benefits and things like that. So she was back at her grind from not working for, gosh, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. She stopped working to raise the boys. So she went back to work. I was still trying to do a little bit of real estate. So when the jump rope thing started happening, it was a slow build because really it was just a hobby at first. And when things started, you know, picking up, and my wife's the one that actually told me, she goes, you know, you're buying all the material and you're doing all these. At first I was doing it for free. I was just so flattered somebody wanted a jump rope that I was giving away free jump ropes, and it cost me a lot of money to make a jump rope at that time, you know, one off, right? And she's the one that said, you know, you can tell my wife is infinitely smarter than I am, because she's the one's like, we're broke. Literally, we're flat broke. I had to go back to work, and you're buying all this shit and you're giving people jump ropes, but it made me feel good, right? Like it fed my soul to like see it, put a smile on somebody's face. And so she's like, you need to start charging people at least for the material. So I did that, which I felt bad about. And it wasn't even enough then. And then, yeah, it started picking up a little bit of steam. And I think, you know, getting invited to the games with Rogue was kind of the big impetus to like, okay, let's buy more bulk and materials and try and make this a little bit more profitable. But, we were very conservative. We ran the business out of our house for 2.5 years and just really stockpiling. I mean, I was so broke. I had less money than I have hair at that time, if you can imagine. Like we really took a big sucker punch. And so I was super, super conservative and nervous. So we saved up for 2 years and two and a half years, and then finally jumped out into this commercial space. But I had 10 employees coming into my house every day. By the time we moved out, we were up to 10 employees because we were that busy just trying to, you know, fill and meet orders. So I think everybody's situation is different. For us, I mean, that's where the CrossFit community was just so amazing, that it was such a lush, hungry community looking for help, you know, looking for answers. And we happened to, you know, have the right answer at the right time. And so we kind of grew up with it. So yeah, I think everybody's situation is going to be different. And you got to put food on the table and you got to take care of your family first. So, you know, for us, we managed to, you know, balance that out. And my wife continued to work. Until we felt pretty stable and self-sufficient with this business. By the time we moved into our facility is when she left her job at San Diego State and came to work helping run the company full time. And then we're self-insuring ourselves, right? We're paying for family health insurance, which was ungodly expensive out here in in SoCal. But it was worth it. Yeah. So that's, I think everybody's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. So you're in an even more unique scenario where both you and your wife left, you know, quote unquote, real jobs. Last question for me. I'm hijacking this. Who was the first games athlete that you remember on the floor with one of your ropes where you were like, oh man, like I made it. So-and-so is like, that's my rope at the games.
Yeah, that's a funny story. So the reaction wasn't that. The reaction wasn't, oh, I made it, you know, so-and-so's using my rope. Wasn't that at all. Because, you know, the game still, I mean, 2010, that was only the fourth games. And, you know, we still weren't sure. We weren't sure where it was going to go. But, yeah, the funny thing is there were two people. One of them was this gal from Australia competing. And her name is Megan. And Megan, her husband was like her coach. And he ran up to the booth and he's like, hey, my wife, we have that. I don't know if you remember 2010 was heavy deadlifts, run across the tennis court, yeah, and do pistols and then double unders, right?
Austin won that event for the men, Austin Maliolo.
Oh yeah, because he could deadlift like a monster. Yeah. And that was the event we found out that Miko Salo, who I thought was unstoppable, couldn't freaking double under. I was like so heartbroken that my hero couldn't double under. It's like, it was horrible. But anyway, so Megan came up and her husband's like, hey, you know, my wife's got this event. She needs jump rope. And so we basically just gave her one of our demo ropes hanging off the tent. We go, here, well, how tall is she? Came up with figured out what her size was and just gave it. She didn't even test it. And he took it down to her and gave it to her for that event. And I have no idea how she did on that event. And I would love to get pictures of it, but six years later, what's that?
We got a guy on the call, Sim. He's in India. He'll find it for us. Don't worry.
Okay, cool. So 6 years later, I'm at the regionals in Wollongong, Australia. And I never met Megan, right? Because her husband came up and got the rope for her. And we never connected. So 6 years later, she comes up to our booth in Wollongong, Australia. And she brings that original rope. She goes, this is the rope that you gave my husband that I used at the games. And she goes, and it was like, and she took such good care of it. It was in impeccable condition. Even the same cable, like usually the coating will wear out just from friction. Even on rubber mats, the friction will wear it down. Her cable was like in phenomenal shape. And she's like, this rope has traveled tens upon tens of thousands of miles, around the world with her. And she's like, I love it. But I made a deal and I made her give me that rope, you know? I said, I'll give you whatever you want. I want that rope because I want to put it in a shadow box and like kind of keep it in my office. So her, but then Jason Kalipa was the other one, right? So Jason needed a rope as well, came up to the booth. We gave him a rope. We didn't really know Jason very well at the time. And we gave him this cable, the buff cable, right? And he used it during that workout. And I remember running down at the very end of that workout, kind of running down to try and catch the tail end of his heat. And when he was done and he was walking off the floor, I kind of yelled at him. I'm like, hey, how'd the rope feel? And I remember him kind of sarcastically going, yeah, it was interesting, you know, because it was heavy for him, right? Like he wasn't used to it and he was used to using a speed rope. And so it felt heavy to him because he didn't have his efficiencies down. And so Jason's probably the first big guy in 2010. And then after that, Froning and Bridges and a lot of those guys, Thor's daughter, they were all using them 2011, 2012. And from then on, you know, so.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. I'm going to let these guys chime in. Federico, I see your hand. Christian, assuming I asked your question for you, let me know. But Federico, are you there in Italy?
Yes, I have to turn off my video because of low battery.
So how are we going to see you double under?
Okay, I'll try to turn on my video for just a few seconds.
Sounds good. You know, David, Federico's got a new girlfriend, so he's just busy, he's stressed out. It's, you know, life has changed for him.
Oh, his legs are probably tired all the time, poor guy.
Yeah, I know. Federico, plug your damn phone in. What's going on?
I'm in my gym, but my battery is low. So
one of those adapters, Italy adapters. Who are it? But while we're letting Federico talk about, you know, centripetal force or whatever, however you say that word, but can't figure out his battery. Anybody else have a question over here? We miss this more. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, yeah, right. Jason Ackerman. What do you got, Christian?
You were talking about how you said it was fulfilling your soul just to give people jump ropes. And how, basically how that led to you creating this business. And I'm just curious, now, how are you filling your soul with your business since you're no longer just handing out people free jump ropes because it feels good?
Yeah. You know what? Like constantly creating. I mean, I think that's kind of my niche that I enjoy, is trying to figure out answers to, answers to everyday problems. And so, and it's not like I'm sitting there trying to come up with, like, well, I probably do, like, geeky stuff, like, oh, you know, I wonder if this would work for that. But, you know, like, when you're in a gym, the biggest thing that I realized for myself when I started CrossFit is that you have a lot of ancillary discomforts that come from training hard, right? From, you know, tearing your hands, doing a shit ton of pull-ups or muscle-ups, whatever. You know, shredding your shins on rope climbs or on missed box jumps, you know, things like that. So you have all that other stupid stuff that happens that if it didn't happen, you'd really enjoy your fitness more, I feel, right? At least for me, like, I'm a big wuss. I don't like any of that stuff. And so, and a lot of people probably don't know, I actually started making my own grips before I even made a jump rope, because before I started tinkering with jump ropes, you know, I was doing muscle ups and pull ups and stuff like that. And my hands would shred, and I was still doing real estate, you know, meeting with customers, and you just can't, you know, you can't show up with chewed up skin like that. And so, so I started making grips, you know, back in the early day first. And again, not to sell, they were just for my own consumption. And, so it was things like that, just trying to figure out, like, hey, how do we solve this, you know, could be a seemingly minor issue, right? So I don't know if you guys saw, I put a couple posts up recently on one of my pages, but, you know, we have a new product, an Airbox, right? So it's an inflatable plyo box that you can't hurt yourself on. Well, somebody will find a way. Let me take that back. Hey, Jason, back to your question about, you know, business advice. It, depending on what your service or your product is, you're not going to get it 100% before you release it. You know, like, if you can get that product or service 90% confident that, okay, this is a good deliverable, just put it out there, because guaranteed the marketplace will find a way to fuck up whatever you did, right? They'll find a way to break it. They'll find a way to, you know, troubleshoot and figure out you missed something somewhere along the way. So we came up with an Airbox because, you know, I watch people in my gym just, you know, bang their shins and kill themselves. And it's like, well, that shouldn't have to happen, right? Like, we should be able to prevent that, you know, some way or another. You know what? I have another creation that I recently came up with that I got to turn my screen.
Come on, we got some breaking news here.
I just realized you actually were able to see it in the background.
Go back and screenshot that, Sim. Post it. Post it. So, give it to me. That's my idea. We're opening up a new company, you guys. We're gonna.
Yeah. No. You know what? This new product. So here's the funny thing. This new product, it's not going to make a ton of money, right? It's not something we're looking at. It's like, oh my God, this is a cash cow. It's just going to be. It's going to be so life-changing for a lot of people in a very small way, right? Like, there's something that's been going on. You guys can, yeah, little trivia. Think about things that people struggle with in a gym. Just think about your average, you know, person, your dad bod or your soccer mom.
Did you open the doorway for Tony's head to be able to fit into all gyms now? Is that what it is, bigger doorways?
That's a bigger job.
How he had to shave the side of his head? That's because his head brushed against the door as he was going in.
Man, Tony gets the brunt of it, doesn't he?
Don't worry, I get it in the comments.
That's so funny. But so, you know, when you kind of just see things that happen around the gym and you're like, man, I wonder, for me, it's always about, like, progression. Because that's a big thing with CrossFit. It's always been like, people are, we're adults and we're impatient, right? We know that our time on earth is like ticking and we're not kids anymore. We're more aware of our mortality. And it's like, people want stuff now. I want to be able to get my muscle up now. I want my double under now. I want that, you know, 185 pound snatch now. And, you know, there's progression to everything. And so for me, it's kind of picking out things where I feel like there's less progression available to people, whether it's just technique in progression and technique, or maybe a tool will help people with that progression, right? So those are the things that I pay attention to. And you know, because it just helps more people get over milestones or get over hurdles. And again, it helps them enjoy and express their fitness, right? And that's what I want. I want people to like, you know, I get so freaking geeked out when people get, you know, their first, you know, 5 unbroken double unders, and that's a big deal to people, right? Or people, you know, they get a skill for the first time, and they're just, you see this expression, like it looks like Jason's face all the time. It's always like excited bewilderment, you know.
Don't confuse that with just, you know, not paying attention.
yeah. So anyway. So doing those things to answer your question, yeah, that's what feeds the soul. And, you know, also that's in the business, but outside the business and having good life balance, right? Like I like to ride motorcycles and surf and snow ski and, you know, do things with my kids and my wife and our dogs. So, you know, that feeds the soul a lot. That's what allows me to come in here and feed my soul in here too. So.
Yeah, well, whoever figures it out first, once David makes the announcement, we gotta see who can figure it out.
If you figure out what it is, I will send you one to proto. You can test it. I will send it to you.
Sounds like a Sim's going to India with nothing better to do. David, you better watch out.
I am so excited about this new product because it's so geeky, but it's like, oh fuck, that makes common. It makes great sense, right? It's like, geez, that's gonna help a lot of people.
And don't forget that last knowledge bomb. You know, I wrote done is better than perfect, which is kind of what you're saying, you know, get it out there. So let's make sure we get to at least these two questions. You've changed your name back, I see, Matt, but we've got the original Brazilian level 3 Matt over there.
Nice.
yeah, it did. I mean, actually, it's every time I log out and log in, it just goes back to Matt. Hey, David.
How
so
are
first
you?
Off, good. How about you, man?
Fabulous, man. Happy to be here with you.
I love to jump rope, and I personally want to thank you for this bad boy.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. I own the White Boy Daily Brazilian version, Portuguese version.
Nice.
And I always posted about it. I don't know if you're the one that runs it, but someone asked my email, and then they sent it to me. So, like, it made a long way to get here to Brazil because my mom is in Orlando. So we went there and then my mom sent it to me here.
Awesome.
So thank you so much. And they suck, to be honest, because I tried to do a workout with 30 double unders. I did the first round unbroken. The second one, I couldn't do it because dang, that hurts a lot.
Lack of fitness, awesome. We call that.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay. Yeah, I know.
It's just exposure, right? It's just exposing yourself to it more. You'll get good at it.
Yeah, I'll do some more workouts with it. And I also have the Evo jump rope. So I did that one and then I went back to the Evo. That was way easier.
Yeah.
And I got some questions.
Yep.
Can you do the quadruple jump rope? Like the double and the quadruple?
Me personally, no.
Okay. Because I'm just wondering because I want to get to that level. And nice. I have a question about progressions. Like,
yep.
Because I do love jump rope. And so, like, I want to know, like, what are some progressions that, like, you personally use that will, like, directly impact someone's ability to help to double under? Because I see some, I mean, I'm not going to say, I just want to know what you say, and then I'll go back and say what I think.
Perfect. No, you know, I'm glad you asked that because that's what I really wanted to offer you guys as coaches, it, more than anything, is like having like a smart progression and a roadmap for your members, because, you know, double unders is that one skill that anybody cares about is completion, right? Like in a workout, hey, if it's getting under your feet twice and you hit the required reps, you're successful, right? Whereas if you were doing a workout with, say, you know, 95 pound snatch, and you got a member in there that's just pressing the shit out of every single rep and coming down, hitting their head and doing stupid things, they're making the reps, but you'd stop them, right? You'd pull them back and go, you know what? Let's deload the bar. Let's lighten up the weights and let's focus on better technique, right? But with double unders, as long as it's passing under, people don't give a shit. They're happy. So it's really holding your athletes and your members a little bit more accountable to structure, right? So for us, obviously it starts off with body position and make sure that body position is very elongated, very upright and tall. And people have to learn how to start getting their hands under their shoulders, right? So you need to make people very, very aware whether they can videotape themselves and watch it back, look at a reflection in a window or a mirror, but they need to be aware of their silhouette and what their outline looks like, so that they can start, you know, it's a whole domino effect. The minute you get your positioning a lot more tight and compact, that allows you to shorten your rope. And with a shorter rope, you now have a faster cycle rate, right? That smaller radius gets around the body faster. So it's less effort to make those rotations, much less effort. Less time in the air is required, right? You're in a much more ergonomically neutral position. So right away, it's getting people in good positioning. So this would be a good opportunity to, I'm going to bring Dax in so Dax can
get off his phone. Anasan, some
demo time.
Guys, TikTok following. I don't have TikTok, but I hear that he's got, you know, quite a following over there, Dax.
Yeah, so Dax is my oldest son. He's my 19-year-old, and you know, Dax.
Would you have him when you were like 3?
Dude, I'm 52, man. I'm a late starter.
Whoa, I gotta shave my head. It takes years. Huh?
So Dax, actually, when you know, he was like whatever 9 or 10 years old when we, you know, were going to all the CrossFit events. And you know, we didn't want to be latchkey parents, so we took him with us when we were going to the regionals and to the games and whatever, all the, you know, different events. And so Dax was actually like sizing up people, coaching them, getting him into the right rope, demoing for them from a very, very young age. And so as you know, you can imagine, he really hates the family business. So he wants nothing to do with jump ropes at all. So the fact that I got him down here at 8 a.m. is huge, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so that was for you, Jason, since you said that some of the members out there were familiar with Dax.
And actually, so, quick tangent, Ryan, your son's name is Daxon also? Such a unique name. Yeah, that's cool.
Is it? How do you spell it?
D-A-X.
Just Dax, that 3 letters?
Yeah, it's Daxton, but he goes by Dax, D-A-X-T-O-N.
That's exactly how we spell it, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Dax, quick question. How much coffee do your mugs hold?
Depends on how big they are.
What's your biggest mug?
I can make you a base.
Done. I'll hit you up later.
Right. Yeah, so... For those of you that may not be familiar, I get to brag a little bit, right? Dad bragging moment. So Dax got into pottery in high school in taking an art class, and they had a 2-week introduction on a pottery wheel, and he sat down at the pottery wheel and he was like Rain Man, right? Like he was just figuring it out. It was very natural to him. Other kids were just struggling, total struggle bus. And so sophomore year, like he fell in love with it. And then junior year, he didn't take the class again. Senior year, he took it again, and he just kept coming home. And it was like a kindergartner, you know, doing his little arts and crafts. Mom, Dad, I made this mug. Mom, you know, pottery. He just kept talking about it. And we're like, okay, great son, good. Go put it up on the mantle, fireplace, or whatever, you know. So for his 17th birthday, we didn't know what to get him. So we're like, we bought him a pottery wheel. He stuck it up in the playhouse that we built for them, him and his little brother, when they were, you know, yay big. And he just started living up in this playhouse, making pottery, right? Like he was literally a high school senior and a lot of friends, played sports, all that. But he was skipping out on like Saturday and Friday night parties making pottery. You know, his buddies are like, come on, there's a party. He's like, ah, no, I'm making pots. And that became the thing. He had walked past us in the living room. Mom and Dad, I'm going back to the shed to make pots. So it became dubbed the pot shed. So bring the shed up.
Two quick things. First of all, no one got my ghost reference. You guys are too young for that. But ghost. Google it and you'll get it. Secondly, hey, Dax, we appreciate you being here. Can you tell us where they can check out your stuff for those of us that don't know?
On thepotshed.com.
Thepotshed.com. Anasan, will you drop that link, please? And then lastly, David, Anasan over there is the one that said, hey, did you know David's son, Dax, blah, blah, blah. And I texted you about it. I thought for sure we were talking about marijuana. I had no idea if we were actually talking. I was like, oh, sweet, he's a pot. I'm going to go get some. Like, what's he brewing up over there? And then I was like, wait, pottery? So it's,
yeah,
like,
pottery.
It's funny that that's what
some of his little, you know, memes or hashtags are local pot or local mug dealer. He's your local mug dealer. Buy mugs, not drugs, at the pot shed, just silly stuff like that. But people get that all the time. They're like, oh, pot. But no, so anyways, through the pandemic, you know, he started posting his videos on TikTok and just ballooned up. And so he's the world's most followed potter or ceramicist on social media. He's got over 6.25 million followers on social media, most of it on TikTok. But it's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Out there. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but he's a really good jump roper. He hasn't practiced and he hasn't warmed up yet today, but I mean, you know, Dax, when he's tuned in, he can knock out triple unders and he does other little freestyle things. So he's a much better jumper than I am. So, but real quick to get back to, you want to get posture. So Dax, back up just a little bit. There we go. And,
this is early for Dax. He's been yawning nonstop since he's been on the video. This is
seriously,
early.
Dude, he's never out of bed until like 10 a.m. And even then he wakes up and he's on his phone in bed for like, you know, a couple hours.
It's your job. It's your job, Dax. We get it. But we appreciate you doing this. Thank you very much.
So here's the big thing. I'm going to try and get down here. So
just Chuck Taylor's.
The big thing is to get people. I always have people put their feet together. Right. So our big motto is minimize variables, right? Minimize variables, maximize tolerances. So minimizing your variables, take two legs, make them into one leg. It's a better spring operating together, right? Like a pogo stick. You also maximize your tolerance because you give yourself more clearance on the sides where the rope, you know, might catch your foot. Exactly. And the other thing is get people doing. If you're trying to prep somebody for double unders, which most people in CrossFit are, right? Try and coach them to do low, quick singles, lower, quicker singles. And I don't mean you have to go really, really fast. I just mean make that tempo quicker with less knee bend, like he's even bending his knees too much. So Dax, do some single unders and I'll tell you what I'm looking for. So speed it up a little bit. Yeah, so I want a lower, quick single under like this, okay? Because what that's going to teach him to do is actually, let's move this rack and have you go side view too. Yeah, do that again. So the big thing about doing so watch him doing low quick singles, go a little quicker. Okay, so now watch what happens. Hey, do high slow singles, high slow singles. Yeah, they're really funky, but he'll get it in a sec. Try it again. Just high, slow, single. What just changed with his arms? Look what his arms are doing, right? That's the big windmill. Everybody's like, oh, big windmill. You're rotating from your elbows. Because what people are having to do is slow the rope down because you're spending too much time in the air, right? And that motion with the arms is not anything we ever want to emulate with a jump rope. You never need to do that, right? So a lot of coaches I know have that process of like, oh, do high singles to get used to bounding high. But what they don't realize is it's creating that arm motion, which is just horrible. And then when you ask them to go for a double under, all of a sudden this big rotating motion turns into tension. Yeah, they tighten up and try and rip the rope, but they forget to go up. That's the common thing we see, right? So I really, really, really do not like teaching. And I'm not saying you can't have success teaching it that way. You can. But as far as a linear progression that makes sense and it helps you transfer good good movement, low quick singles, that's going to generate the right wrist motion. And then once the rope is moving properly, all you got to do is get in the air now, give the rope more time. And it's so much easier that way, right? That's why we have so much success teaching people double unders and triple unders, right? So so that's what we're shooting for. So teach those single unders low and quick, right? Just get that tempo up. And then let's do this. So go profile, that quicker tempo singles. If he can keep his wrist motion, maybe a little quicker. If he can keep his wrist motion pretty much there, but really elevate off the ground for a double, it'll feel like a slow double under. So quick singles actually feels like a slow double under. So do that. Do some real high, slow single or double, slow double. So just try and keep the rope same speed, right? So keep it. Yeah, you're getting it. Yeah, he'll get it. He hasn't warmed up or
practiced. Too much pottery, not enough double unders.
Yeah, seriously.
Those are what my double unders look like when I do too much pottery. Yeah. Also,
he's being a little bendy. I don't coach him very much anymore. But you're being a little bendy, sticking your butt out, and bending your knees. So anyway, yeah. So but you get the idea, right? This motion can almost stay consistent from singles to doubles, right? It just stays the same. You just give the rope more time. And that's going to prep you for triple unders too, or quadruple unders for people that are looking for quadruple unders. So, we try and get people to do quick singles, slow doubles, quick singles, slow doubles. But realistically, it's the same motion and same speed is what you're after. Okay.
Yeah. Funny enough, I do the same thing. I do this high, slow singles, but I never thought about the arms, even though I look at the arms when I'm looking at the double. That's a good point. Might not be using anymore because it makes sense. And then I go from the high, slow singles to the fast singles because of the same reason. Because if you can rotate the rope fast enough, it's just a matter of you jumping a little bit higher because you're going to go for the double.
Yeah. So there's no reason to do high singles, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing it the right way. You're just adding in that step. But I think that can confuse people because it just you have no choice because you have to slow the rope down, right?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked because, I mean, I understand the reason why people ask for the penguin jump where you jump and tap
the side of the ties.
But, I mean, I want to. I'm going to say what I think about it, and I want to know what you think about it, because at the end of the day, with double unders, because I learned way back when before CrossFit, and at the end of the day, you got to practice double under. If not, you're not going to get it, because I can be a master in doing quadruple taps on my legs and not be able to do quadruple unders. So, like, I see that a lot of people can do it, but then when it comes to jump rope, they cannot do it. I don't know what you think about it. If you use it, because I know there's the coordination behind it. Yes, some people might benefit using that, but like 99% or 90% of people that can do the double tap penguin jump cannot do double unders.
Right. Absolutely. And that's a great point, because practicing a drill and then applying it in real life action are two different things, right? That's the gap. That's the gap we have to jump. Okay, I did the drill and I'm great at the drill. Now how do I apply it to the actual skill? And that's the coach's job. So I'll tell you how we approach it. On the penguin jumps, that's a great, I love the penguin taps. In fact, I like the penguin tap. What I didn't like about it was that you have to pronate your hands in and you're in this motion instead of supinated out, which is how you should, your hands should be supinated, right? For jump rope. So I don't know if you saw, Dax, run over to that basket and there should be the shaker bottle. So
we came up with the secret project tube, Dax, right over there.
So we came up with with a more audible cue that lets you be in a more supinated position. So this, so these are just, we call these tempo trainers, right? And it's literally just BBs. You can make these yourselves, right? You can go get a little bottle. You can put, you know, tic-tacs in it or whatever you want, pebbles. But this, so once we use this, it sounds, to me, it sounds like the rope hitting the ground twice, right? If you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that drill, here's where I see a lot of people not using that drill properly. Number one, more emphasis should be on the bound, right? In fact, we always say elevate before rotate, because if you give yourself more time in the air, that solves so many people's problems. It really does. Okay. Just getting in the air and giving yourself time. You could have really funky technique with other, you know, with your rotating and whatnot. But if you get in the air, you're giving yourself more opportunity, then we can clean somebody up. Right. So with that penguin technique, you need to give somebody a target. So, you know, you can rig things in your own gym. What we came up with, I don't know if you can see, yeah, the yellow ball, go stand under the yellow ball. So we have, we call it a bounding target. It's magnetic with Velcro. So it actually magnetizes to the rig and it's Velcro strapped around. And I measured out my own shaka. My shaka is 9 inches long. So you want 9 or 10 inches above an average person, right? If they're older or deconditioned or heavier, you might bring it down, but you want to shoot for 10 to 12 inches overhead, and you want to start getting them bounding and trying to make contact with that, right? That's going to help them align. You need to bring it down a little bit. Okay. So go ahead and give it a shot. No, that's for you. You're fine. So the big thing is teaching people to not let their legs be shock absorbers, but we want them to be springs, right? They need to rebound right away. So a lot of times, like when Dax was demoing his double unders, because he was trying to be too mechanical for me, he was bending too much, right? You saw the big bend in the hips and the knees. We want to eliminate most of that, right? And be a lot more of a tight strut. So I'm bound up trying to hit that this tall, quicker. So you're bending too much, so quicker knees. There, you see how the minute I got him quicker, his knees started bending less, right? So now he's springing, using his quads to help spring. Actually, why don't you turn profile, turn sideways. Let's see if I can get that. You guys see that okay?
Yep.
Okay, go for it, Dax. Tall. Just stay upright, stay neutral, there you go. So we're trying to get on and off the ground really quick, trying to keep the heels off the ground. On double unders, heels should never make contact. They're always trying to lift off the ground, the heels, right? Because what we're using is, you can relax, thanks. That's actually tiring. Doing that is actually tiring. So that's what I think it's, when somebody has really good singles, like you like their technique, their positioning is good, their tempo is quick, they have their hands more under their shoulders. When you really like somebody's single unders, which by the way, 2-to-1 is what I recommend if you're a coach. If you have to scale a double under workout, just make them do 2-to-1 instead of 3-to-1 or 5-to-1. I really fucking hate when coaches do that, because it's like, you know, I'm trying to, you know, detour them from just doing singles in a workout. I want them to try double unders. Well, I don't think that's the right way to incentivize somebody, but to practice the skill and do it correctly, 2-to-1 is the same as a double under. It's actually more work because you're impacting the ground twice as much, right? So 2-to-1 is plenty of training to get a physical stimulus out of it, but there should be a goal behind it. So when their single unders feel good and they're ready for that transition, I would take them to this. I would put those shakers or penguin taps, if you want a penguin tap, whatever you want to do, grab those tempo trainers and then have them bound. And every time you make contact, try and have them delay the hand motion. So I try and really separate those two in drills, because I know in real life, they're going to make those two closer together, right? They're going to try and rotate sooner when they bound. So for the drill, I'm going to have him bound and try not to shake until he makes contact, right? So it's bound, shake, bound, shake, right? So give that a shot. Try to do 5 of them. They're quick little ones. Yep. Up, shake, up, shake, up, shake, up, shake, up, shake.
Really cool.
Good. Yep. So giving him that target and making him focus on the elevation is your first priority. And then add, you know, so you could have them do just that. They don't even have to do anything with their hands. Just it's like, hey, today's workout has 50 double unders per round. go do 50 tempo bounds and give them a high target. So they've got to really work on their technique to get off the ground. Then if coordination is good, okay, add penguin taps or give them, you know, something to shake to get that audible. And then you as a coach can hear it. You want that to be, you want that to happen when they're in the air and you separate them, because I know that as soon as I put a rope in their hands, they're going to try and turn the rope faster, right? They'll turn it much sooner. So I'll have them do those drills or do that as a progression or a scale in a workout, but then I'll have them do that. And then I'll put a jump rope in their hands and say, okay, you know, and I give them a sequence. So usually it's like, okay, do two single unders, one double under, and I'll have them do the drill, and I'll just put my hand over their head, you know, and have them do it, hit my hand. Then I'll give them a rope, do two single unders, one double under. And then if they make it, great, do another one. If they fail a couple times in a row, I take that rope back out of their hands and I do the drill again, two single unders, one double under. And you make sure their single unders are low and quick, and then give them a high target to shoot for, and then put the rope back in their hands. And if you do that a series of four or five times, they start to get it, okay? And because you're reinforcing it on the spot, you're correcting it, reinforcing it on the spot. And as soon as they can do two single unders, one double under, two single unders, one double under, two single under, one, if they can do that like 10 reps in a row consecutively, it's time to add a second double under. Right away, get to two double unders. Because I've run into people, like some of my biggest challenges over the years, I've run into people that they just got stuck on that pattern of two singles, one double, two singles, one double, right? So they're used to low, low, explode, low, low, explode. And getting them to break out of that is so fucking hard, right? So, because they're doing it for so long. So if you can get, you know, if they're consistent, and you like what you see, then go to two doubles, two single unders, two double unders, two single unders, two double unders, two C, right? And when that looks good, add a third one. And that could happen in one session. I could sit down with somebody for 30 minutes. And during that 30 minutes, if I like what I'm seeing and the consistency's there, you know, we'll get up to like four or five double unders. Then I'll just go, okay, go, keep going. Like, why stop? Like you've got it, right? Like you're getting out of the way of the rope, you're rotating the rope. You're getting out of the way of the rope, you're rotating the rope. It's like that simple, you know? So Does that answer your question as giving you some like progression?
No, yes, it did. Cause I mean, I asked about the penguin cause I personally don't like it and I personally don't use it. But like when you got the thing that makes the sound, I would use that for sure. I'm going to think about making it cause we need to hear the rope to make sure where we are to get the tempo and all that stuff. And I also tell that some of my athletes that are trying triple unders and I can do some. So like, You gotta make sure you got the coordination and you're hitting the rope for that. So like all the cues were great. Like I mean everyone's saying on the chat the push jerk cue, which is we put our hands on top of the head and then you touch it and then wait until you touch it for you to turn the rope or make the sound. Yep. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I love it. Yeah, good. Enjoy, man. Tag me in videos. I wanna see the success.
Sure will.
So yeah. We've got to start to wrap up this call, but I see Devin and Anasan. I can't let Anasan not. I know he's a big fan of Dax back there, so it's probably about pottery, not double unders. But let me have Devin ask his question, and then we'll throw it to you, Asan, to wrap it up. Anasan, what do you got, Devin?
Hey, Dave. Sorry.
Hey, what's up?
So we have a lot of athletes who can do single, double really well, and then the second we're trying to add that second double under in. They bring their knees to their chest and they do that giant whip and they freak out. What's a good way to help them kind of slow down and understand like how to get the rope to pass underneath their feet twice without bringing their knees up and kind of curling into a ball?
Yeah, for sure. So listen, something I want to backtrack to, because we kind of talked about, there's a difference between when you're just training somebody one-on-one or just like specifically skill training versus somebody's in a workout doing this, right? And that's a big thing. I think coaches need to take a lot of responsibility in really identifying that, hey, I've got, you know, Sally Sue or Billy Joe that is, you know, really, really good at their singles and they're ready to start doing some double unders. And you're trying to get them to do it in a workout. And when you're racing a clock or you're racing your buddy and you're trying to learn a skill or perfect a skill, those two don't gel well in my mind, right? And so as a coach, I think the biggest thing you need to do, like in a workout, so that they don't go backwards, right? They don't start picking up bad habits, because now it's all of a sudden like, oh shit, I want to try and get my reps in so that I have a good time on the clock. So, you know, you need to tell them, look, for today's double under workout, your single unders are looking great, but I want you to start introducing double unders. You know, have them do the 2-to-1 ratio. You know, it's 50 double unders in a workout. Have them do the 2-to-1 ratio for 40 double, for 40, you know, 40 reps or whatever. And then say, just attempt 5 or 10 really clean double unders at the end. Just attempt them, right? You got to give them a hall pass, so to speak. And so that they, you know, there's a difference between, you know, building your fitness and building your skill, you know? And so, so when you're introducing that during a workout, you gotta kind of control that. I think it's really important. Otherwise you see a lot of regression. But to answer your question, if I had somebody not in a workout setting and I could just like sit with them one-on-one, I would do exactly what I just described a second ago about single, single, double, right? And you then, when they're ready to do 2 in a row, okay, single, single, double, double. And then you see them just go haywire on the second double, take the rope out of their hands, put your hand over their head again. And you make them pay attention, right? Make them, and even have somebody videotape, say, do 2 singles, 2 doubles, do that for 5 rounds. And you stand there, single, single, double, single, single, double, single, single, right? And then you show them on the phone or have them think about it while they're doing it, like how straight their body is. Like, look how high you are off the ground and how perfectly straight you are. If you are that high off the ground, all you have to do now is make the rope touch the ground. If the rope goes tick, tick on the ground, you're that far away from each other. You're not going to hit, right? So you go up, rope stays down, and you separate. So people are just flinching. They just think like, oh, I'm going to hit my feet. So they pull their feet up out of the way, right, to miss the rope. So make them keenly aware that, and sometimes you got to say, look, let yourself fail. Like you might feel like you're going to totally fuck up and you're going to trip by keeping your body straight, but give it a shot and let yourself fail. Right. And I congratulate failures all the time. Like when I'm doing drills like that. So if I tell somebody, hey, single, single, double, double, but you know, have a nice straight body in the air, and they finally do, but they trip, I'm like, fuck yeah, that's exactly it. You kept your body straight. That's what I want. Do that again. And I'll let them do it again and let them trip again, because at least they're making the correction and I know I can fix the rope next, right? Once they got that part, the body posture and the positioning in the air, then I could focus on the rope. I just need to get comfortable performing that. And so, yeah. And then, so that I would literally go back and forth. You'll clean them right up if you give them structure, right? And you do it on the spot. I think that's huge. That's what I would do. And then they just have to see it, like videotape themselves and doing the drill and look how great they are on the drill. And then let them emulate that, right? Like, look how you look now, and then emulate that when you do it with a rope in your hand. So, that's what I would do. And it, usually if you do enough rounds of that, you'll get somebody cleaned up, right? Tell them to squeeze their butt. Usually I'll have them squeeze their butt and squeeze their quads on takeoff, just so they could stay a little bit more elongated, you know? Hey, here's a real big one, Jason. I know you got to go, but this is a huge one. Dax, here, take this rope real quick. Oh, that rope, sorry, whatever. Get your people to understand this. A lot of people, when they start their rope, arms go wide, hands go apart, arms go wide, right? To bring the rope over. And the big thing that I see is they'll do that and then they'll stay wide. They'll stay wide while they're jumping. So start the rope and start jumping, but keep your hands out. Yeah, go wide, stay wide. Right? They go wide, stay wide. And what it needs to be is you don't need to go that wide. Only go as wide as you need to, just to flare the rope back and then pull it over your head, right? Flare back, pull it over their head. So you need to go wide to narrow. So do it again. So wide to narrow. So hands need to drop more under the more under the shoulders. You guys see that? So right away, when you start keying in on somebody's positioning, you need that. So the drill we do is called a toe catch drill, where it's literally just get set up, bring the rope around, have it stop under their toes. And don't whip it. Just let it stop. Boom, freeze. So freeze right here. Okay, freeze right there. Right? So we want the finishing position to be just like that. So reset, do it again. Bring it around and freeze. Okay, put your thumbs on the handle. Here we go. We go.
Damn it, put your thumbs on the handle.
So yeah, and so now do that into five singles. Right? So right away you need to see the hands drop more in line with the shoulders. They don't have to be perfectly under the shoulders. They can be slightly outside the shoulders. If you have, you know, 3 or so inches outside, that's fine. We just don't want to be out here. Okay. We don't want to be out there where we have all this space, because that's going to require a longer rope. And now you're adding variables. Now you have a longer rope that you have to try and manage the contact point, which is about a shoe length in front of your toes. For those of you coaches, when you're watching your athletes, see where their rope is making contact in front of them. And it should be about 10 to 12 inches in front of their toes. Not much further than that and not much closer than that. Cue in on about 10 to 12 inches and then get their rope sized properly so that they can have their hands relatively under their shoulders and still make that nice contact point. Go profile and do that. So do five singles. Right, so if you could see where the rope's hitting the ground, this rope actually might even be a little long for him. He's pretty compact, but so people will tend to widen their hands to compensate for the rope length. You hear people will say all the time, hey, I need a longer rope because I tend to jump wide. I go wide on double unders, so I need a longer rope. But what they don't realize is you're jumping wide because you have a longer rope. You simply have more material that you have to account for. So you have to pull the length out of it to get it to hit your ideal spot in front of your toes, right? That makes sense, guys? Mm-hmm. 1 foot. Somebody said 1 or 2 feet. Yeah, 10 to 12 inches. Oh, how do you measure the rope, please? That's a great question. Real quick, let's cover that because I know you got to go. Come up real quick. Right there, stop. You can't see standing on it. Sorry. So 1 foot, this is again, back to reduce your variables, minimize your variables, 1 foot under the rope, not two. I don't like two pulling up to your armpits. 1 foot, bring your feet back together. So you're standing tall, like you would be jumping rope, pull the rope up tight, turn the handles down flat. We're just concerned with how long the cord is up to his torso. It should never be above your sternum. That's a total beginner's length. And I'm talking about the cord, not the handles, because every jump rope has different length handles, right? We're only concerned with what's moving around you. So here's the bottom of the sternum. If you can be a hand width or more below your sternum, more ideal. That tells me you can be more ergonomic. When I watch Dax jump and I'm seeing where his hands are outside of his hips, he could go much shorter, right? But because of his length, this is kind of an intermediate length. His hands had to be a little bit away just to take up the slack. So that's what you're shooting for. If that rope is longer than that, guys, you simply have, you know, you have a dump truck and you're in a drag race. You have the wrong thing for what you're doing. You have just too much rope that's moving around you. It's going to hit in the wrong place out in front of your toes. So you have to go wide to shorten it to get to the right spot. Okay. So bottom of sternum or a hand width below your sternum is ideal way to measure it. And that's going to help on your quadruple and triple unders, by the way. Okay. Shorter rope, right? Faster cycle rate. And yeah.
Sorry, we're just commenting and you're dropping little nuggets and we're writing them down. So don't worry about what we're writing. It's what you've already said, David.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to hear that. At my age, when I drop nuggets, usually I got to go change my Depends. So I'm glad it's positive this time.
No, it's all good. We got Sim over there writing them down. We got a Slack group. So we're going to have all of this.
Are 50, listen, 50 years old, crushing Lululemon like it's your day job. Dude, don't think I don't notice these things.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
This is success. Thanks. I think, like, if, you know, going back to the beginning, entrepreneurship, you've clearly passed that on to your children, which I think is a tremendous success. And, you know, what's the sign of that? Like, he's potentially more successful than you. And, you know, I'm going to order the Blue Mug 1, just so you know. I hope it holds at least 20 ounces, Dax. The Blue Mug 1 on the site.
Big one. He's made some big ones.
Yeah. And I have plenty of mugs. I'm going to get rid of all my mugs and only use that one. But I mean, man, fit, passionate. You were dropping knowledge. This is one of those calls that I'm going to have to go back and rewatch, not just to figure out. We thought it was the tennis ball thing, and then you threw us for a loop there, David, because then you talked about it. So it's not the tennis ball thing. We're trying to figure out what it is, but man, I think it's double unders are so simple yet so complex, and you just broke it down. And I think, did everybody get at least one thing they're going to take? Yeah, I mean, I think you've blown our minds. Here's what we got to get you back on. A Diddy's got questions for you, so I'll text you offline, and hopefully we can get you back on. Dax, we'll either do it later in the day, or you don't have to be on there. We know you got a busy TikTok life. But David, we always ask for the email, if you don't mind sharing something so these guys can reach out to you.
Of course. Yeah. D Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N, D Newman at rxsmartgear.com.
Similar, drop it in the group. Hey, yep. David, when Seinfeld was popular, was everybody coming up to you like, hello, Newman?
Not when it was popular, like today, up to today.
Like never now. Like on the trip that just did it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I love it, though. I love it. That was a handsome man, so I consider it a compliment.
Yeah.
The mailman.
Newman the mailman. Before we do completely hop off, do you have anything else you wanted to share? These guys are messaging me already, like, this is the best guest we've ever had. And let me tell you, we've had Bergner, we've had Chuck Carswell, you know, we've had Austin Maliolo, like the list goes on. We've had Hinshaw, and you were amazing. So you are the first person that on the call I'm saying we need to have you back for sure. And we got Coach Bergner coming back next week. We've got Greg Almond coming back on, but in a week or two, we got to have you back on. But is there anything else you wanted to add before?
You know what? I mean, I appreciate you guys having me on. And today was a little bit hodgepodge, right? I wasn't sure what the format was going to be. So the things that we covered, I mean, they were kind of shotgunned at you. The way that we like to present the material is very methodical, and it really starts at point A and moves down the line. And, you know, understand that, you know, this approach and the way we like to teach these progressions, we literally in a class will have a brand new beginner who's barely working on single unders, and we'll have a games level athlete. And we do this at Power Monkey Camp. If you guys are familiar with Power Monkey Camp, look it up. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal time. But in our workshops that we do there, I will literally have a beginner and a games athlete. And the information is as beneficial for the games athlete as it is for the beginners. Because that games athlete, they need to tighten up and tune up, but it also helps them progress to their doubles, to their triples, you know, like everything stacks on top of each other. So yeah, today was a little bit, you know, kind of a hodgepodge, but no, I really appreciate the time with you guys, and reach out. I'm always excited to like offer any insight or anything that I might, you know, and I learn from you guys. Sometimes you guys will send me a tip. Oh, Dax just threw a triple. Like he just, you know, doesn't even warm up. He just throws a triple under. But, you know, people will send me things like, hey, I've tried this before and it worked well for me. And I love hearing that, because this is the approach that we found is super, like I said, 90%, it's fucking rock solid. There's 10%. We can always find ways to make it even better, right? And when we hear other ideas, and there's a lot of people out there smarter than me, and I love meeting them. So, I'd love to hear anything from you guys. And you can follow me on, I mean, we have our RX Smart Gear Instagram, and I have my business Instagram, where I talk more about maybe CrossFit or technique or products, is on RXSGCEO. RXSG, that's RX Smart Gear. RXSGCEO is my Instagram, and I might release some little tips on what, Jason, I'll FaceTime you afterwards and I'll show you what it is, but you can't tell anybody, okay? you're gonna love it. Trust me, you're gonna.
Oh boy, all right. All right,
no chance he keeps his secret, by the way. No chance.
You better.
Right. Well, we really appreciate it, like I said. As we wrap up, I'm sure these guys are going to want to say goodbye. They like to linger. Luckily, Federico didn't find a charger out there, so he might not stay on too long. But David, this was awesome. I got to hop on a call when we're done, but I'll hit you up right after, and we'll set up part two, and then I want to see what this what this thing is, what that red thing behind you is all about. I have a feeling you're giving it away right there.
No, that's one of my team members. It's one of my team members' ribbons that they stretch on and do circ stuff. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys, let me say goodbye to David. And thank you so much for coming on. This was amazing.
I had fun, guys. Thank you. Look forward to doing it again.
So you never miss an episode of the podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and on all major podcasting platforms at Best Hour of Their Day. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being a part of the Best Hour of Our Day. See you next time.
You've heard me talk about it before, and I'm truly not joking. I'm being 100% genuine. I love Doc Spartan products. I use it every day. I talk about the Sex Panther Beard Balm. It's literally what is in my beard right now. And I use all of the scrubs, my favorite being the coffee scrub, just in the shower, gives you the tingles, gives you the feels. I love it. And there's so many other great products. I use their deodorant. I've used their hand care when I've had tears. Just check them out. It's veteran owned, you know, guy that was in the military serving our country, Dale. I got to know him over the years and he's just a great dude. And I started buying his products and he reached out to me and said, hey, we want to support the show and we appreciate it. And I just want you guys to not only support Doc Spartan and Dale, but also reap the benefits. If you want to be sexy like me, then you want to check out Doc Spartan products. 15% off with the code BESTHOUR. That's BESTHOUR for 15% off anything at their website, docspartan.com. Check out the coffee scrub and definitely check out the beard balm. And ladies, there's stuff for you too. So head on over to docspartan.com, use the code BESTHOUR and save 15%.
You started your business to help others. Somewhere along the way, you lost the capability of doing it on your own. Imagine how much different your business would be with an extra $10,000. Would you pay your rent? Would you buy new equipment? Would you pay your coaches more? Would you pay yourself? What if you could do that and donate to others? We started our business to help you. Finally, a payment solution for the micro gym space. We are proud to introduce you to WheelPay, a platform that allows you to both save money and be generous. With giving partners like the Phoenix, the Navy SEAL Foundation, the Green Beret Project, and other charitable organizations, you can trust that your donations will make a massive difference in the lives of others. Saving has never been easier. Giving has never been easier. Pay better. Do better. WheelPay.